your love cannot overtake. There is no stronghold too strong that your love cannot tear it down. There is a hope that's alive. I feel it burning on the inside. There is a blood that's overcome. The God who restores, with just one word the world was full. You are the Spirit whose light is breaking forth like the dawn from night. You are the one who holds the keys, and every battle is your victory. Yours is the blood that's overcome. King of kings, let your kingdom grow. All of creation praise your name.
We will
see glory is falling in this place. I see hope restored, the healing of all disease, and I sing praises. I sing praises. Give you honor, worthy Jesus. We give you praise and all of the honor. You are our God, the one we live for. We give you praise and all of the glory, God.
Oh, name. Bless your name, God. Give him a worship in the building today. Hallelujah. God, we worship you. We lift you up, God. You're worthy. You're worthy, Lord, of praise and glory and honor. And today we lift you up in the sanctuary, God. We honor you. What a beautiful name it is. You worship with me this morning. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's here in the sanctuary to meet every single one of your needs. He's here, y'all. He's here. Would you lift your heart to him this morning? Lift your hands to him this morning. Brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Hallelujah. Give God a praise in the building. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you today for your word, God. And today we choose to submit our bodies to you, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is our reasonable service, God, which is our worship to you. We decided today, we made a conscious decision, Lord, to give it all to you today. God, we don't want to listen to any other voices but yours. We don't want to be led by any other thing or person but you. So God, we submit to you today and we surrender to you everything, God, that is hurt, everything, God, that is wounded, everything, God, that is hindered. God, we lift it up to you today. We put it on the altar today because our heart's desire, God, is for revival in the land. And we know that it starts in us. And so, God, we lay it all down before you so that you can use us. God, we're needed in the area right now for such a time as this when people are shooting and killing each other right in our little communities. God, we lay it down. Glory to God. We lay it before you because we know that we're needed in the earth right now. We have been birthed into the world for this time, for this moment. And so, God, we ask that you would use us as we prepare our hearts to be used in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we love you today. God, we worship you today. And we thank you for all that you've done. We commit this service to you, God. We'll let you do what you want to do. We'll let you have your way. I thank you. I praise you for who you are. And all the people of God said, Amen. Let's give God one more sacrifice of praise. We would like to welcome you to our service this morning. Such a sweet anointing in the place. Hallelujah. We just thank God for his presence on today, and we thank you for coming to worship with you. Are there any visitors among us today? Any visitors? If not, we're glad that you're here, and we thank God for you. It's offering time in the sanctuary. Hallelujah. This is the time when you give back to the Lord. Worship as you give.
So good. So good. So good. So good. Can you say that? God is so good. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is good. Thank you, worship team. You guys are incredible. You do a good job for us. I appreciate y'all. I know it sounds like a habit, but I just mean it. Come on. Just mean that. Yeah, hang with me on the keys there just for a second. I got to pray for a couple of people. Patty and Sydney, come on up here to the platform. Praise God. As they're coming, let me just remind you that there is a money tree in the foyer. Somebody say cash money. Amen. Reach in your pocket. We've got a chance to love someone today who loves us. Amen. And one of our leaders, long-term leaders, made it to the grand number of 80 years. Mother Virginia Gatlin. Come on, stand up, Mother Virginia. Praise the Lord. Mother Jenny, stand right there. And I thought it would be a wonderful thing. She's 80 years old. She's been entrusted with a ministry for many, many years here. And I see her like Vince Lombardi. You know, Vince Lombardi, he got together with his football team every season. And he threw up this little pigskin in the middle of them. And he said, gentlemen, this is a football. Okay? And he said, our object is to get to the other end of the field and get that thing, cross the line, and then get an extra point on the goalpost. And he sat down with them every year, and he talked about the simplicity and the basics of football. Every year. He was a great coach. I have seen Mother Jenny so many times. I've seen husbands sitting in the foyer, and I would say, what are they doing out there? They say, oh, Mother Jenny's having a greeters meeting. She gets together with her greeters on a regular basis, and she tells them it's important that your breath smells good, that you are clean, that your cleavage is not, for everybody to see. She tells them the basics. She does. She tells them the basics, and she trains them. She's an incredible leader. Give it up for Mother Jenny. Come on. What a leader. So take some cash out of your pocket. Come on. Take some cash out of your pocket, and when you leave today, say happy 80th birthday to Virginia Gatlin. Amen? Praise the Lord. Minister Jerry, Pastor Jerry, would you stand up and just point your prayer right back to her? There she goes right there. Pray for Mother Jenny. Right, here's her microphone right here. Pray for her. God's blessing.
Praise the Lord, everyone. I just pray for the mother here, God. Virginia, God, you just keep on blessing her spiritually, physically, and financially, God. And dear God, that you keep her, God, keep her mind, God, and use her in a mighty way, God. Let her know she's just beginning to work in ministry. Let her know that she's going to bear much fruit, God, in due season. God, use her in a mighty way. And God, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Come on, man. Did you hear that man prophesy over you? He said, it's just the beginning. Amen. With long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. Come on, give the Lord praise today. Hallelujah. Now, you two ladies right here are two of the bravest young warriors I know in this church right now. You know why? Because tomorrow morning, they're going to get on the bus, Gus. Come on now. They're going to get on the bus. They're going to get on the bus, and they are going to take a journey to South Carolina and take our kids to a gathering, a massive gathering of other energy-filled young people going to the Assemblies of God camp in South Carolina. They need some prayer, y'all, okay? I'm going to tell you something. I don't mind pastoring the church, but I ain't doing camp. Come on. I ain't doing camp. I'm just not. Amen? So I'm excited for them. And I thank you guys. You serve so much all the time. And we just want to pray over you because you're going to need some Holy Ghost. Amen? I promise you. You're going to need some Holy Ghost dealing with those young people. Wesley, are you taking them? Praise the Lord. Wesley's driving them down there. Amen. Praise God. There's so much. I just tell you, you know what? I love Carpenter Shop Church. You guys are the beast. I'm telling you. You just do so much from your heart. And I thank God for what you're doing. So, Father, in the strong name of Jesus right now, we just lift up Patty and Sydney and Wesley, God, and lift up every child, every young person, God, that has decided camp is where I belong. God, camp is where some of them will be called into the ministry. Camp is where someone will be filled with the Holy Ghost. Camp is where someone will meet their lifelong partner, God, for the rest of their days. They're going to find somebody that they might marry. Camp is a place, God, where you fulfill destinies. And so we speak peace over them as leaders. We speak peace over them, God, as they take our kids. And God, we just give that journey to you in the strong name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Sydney's got a word for you. Okay.
All right. So we do have our Vacation Bible School coming up. It's going to be July 12th through the 16th. And the times are 6:30 to 9. If you guys have any of your kids or grandkids, or if you know any neighbor kids that would love to go, the ages are 3 to 12. And I don't know about y'all, but VBS was always one of my favorite times of the year growing up as a kid. I loved going and learning more about Jesus. So if you know any kids that would love to go, even if those kids aren't saved, Vacation Bible School is a time so many kids come to know the Lord. So, and we're also looking for volunteers. So if y'all want to volunteer, even if it's one day or all 5 days, we'd love to have y'all. We're going to drag you in. We'd love to have y'all. If you want to sign up for helping, either look for me or Pastor Miranda. And yeah, we have a little video on it.
Thank you, Cindy. Praise the Lord. Check this out.
Get ready.
I am a priceless treasure. God knows me, God hears me, God is my comfort.
To embark on an epic quest.
Nothing better, forgiven and chosen forever.
And discover God's greatest treasure.
I am a treasure.
Praise the Lord. Listen, amen. You may be sitting there and thinking, well, you know what? I can't serve the Vacation Bible School all week long. I can't do five nights like that. Listen, you might not be able to do but one night or two nights or something like that. Can I just ask you, would you open your heart and just ask the Holy Spirit, God, how can I help Pastor Miranda and Pastor Gary fulfill this Vacation Bible School? Because there's probably going to be 100 kids here. And that's a lot of work. That's a lot of work. You can give of yourself just for one or two services to help in some way. It would take a tremendous amount of weight off of them, seriously. So we need your help. Amen. This past week, Friday night, we had an incredible time when our women's ministry, they had their first gathering back together post-COVID. Amen. First gathering. 77 women showed up. Come on. 77. That was an incredible time. We had an incredible time back there, and it was just beautiful to see God move by His Spirit among those women. Pastor Joy, thank you and your team for doing such an incredible job to make that first event back to us. And she's been doing that for many, many years, a couple of major events a year. There's some exciting things coming up. Don't forget today, amen, to speak to someone. And we're making plans for the future, so we're excited about that. Today, at the end of the service, before you leave the sanctuary, as you leave the sanctuary, there'll be a woman standing there with a bucket because they made a real step of faith and pledged a large amount of money to the Touch the World project. And if you could just reach in your pocket, even if you don't do anything, but just give your change today, that's fine. If you got a $10 bill, $20 bill, or whatever, just help them out as you leave the gates today, right before you go to the money tree, okay? All right? Listen, we're giving. Why? Because Luke 6:38 says, give and it shall be what? Given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Today's a great day to give, not only to Mother Jenny, but to missions. Amen? So just give it up for our women. Come on, give it up for our women today. Hallelujah. We're excited about it. Thank you, Pastor Joy, for leading. And she's got a tremendous team, and they're doing an incredible job to bring ministry to our women. I'm excited today about the Word of God. Are y'all? Come on. Are you excited? I'm excited about the Word of God. I woke up excited this morning. You know what? I've been preaching all summer long, 5-6 times a week. And my wife, I went through a little thing here just a few weeks ago. And just, I was sick. I just was sick. And one of my ministers said, Pastor, you didn't even call me and tell me you were sick. I'm talking about just broke down. Come on, amen. Nothing was wrong with me. I did go for my annual physical, and my doctor did a complete blood panel. He said, Pastor Wallace, he said, man, there ain't nothing wrong with you, dude. You're fine. All your numbers are good. And I thank God for that. I do that every year, you know, just kind of get a checkup and make sure everything's okay. But he said, you're in good shape. But he said, you look exhausted. I said, man, I am spent. And my wife just pulled out my phone one day, and she pulled up my calendar. She said, just look at that. She said, that is crazy. What you're doing is just too much. And a lot of times I'm preaching from home, you know, to the nations of the earth, never leave the house, but still you got to pray and seek God, and it's a real challenge to make all the technology work and flow. But God's bringing fruit back from that. Amen. Thank you so much. Those of you who are giving on a regular basis to our television ministry, this ministry this morning, 182 countries in the world will view today. And God has opened up doors. I got an invitation to go to preach in Pakistan, which is just incredible. And we're preaching in Pakistan in October. And then I got an invitation to preach in the largest church in the whole nation of Central America the first week in December. Amen. God is doing an incredible thing. Not from here, from there. Amen. So we're excited about that. There'll be several people here from the church, some men that are going with us as we travel to Honduras the first week of December. So I'll be preaching in the largest church in Central America, and then preaching in Pakistan. Sunday morning worship services averaging between 9,000 and 10,000 people. That's a lot of folks, amen? And so we're excited about that. But I'm excited this morning about this. Come on now. I'm excited about this, the Word of God. Let me ask you a question. What's on your mind? Amen? What's on your mind? Father, in the strong name of Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, we come before you right now, God, with thanksgiving in our heart. We come before you with gratitude. We come before you with a divine expectancy, God, for you to speak to us. You spoke to your servant leader today. You spoke to my heart, God. You spoke to my spirit, man. And I pray, Lord, that you would help me effectively transfer that to the hearers today. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Wonderful thing when you have a minister step on the platform with a microphone and they start preaching your text right before you get on the platform. That's pretty cool. So that's just a great question. What's on your mind this morning? What's on your mind? To be asked that in the onset of this service. And if it's answered truly, you know what would happen? You would reveal the issues of your heart. You would reveal the issues of every heart in this room. What is it that's on your mind? Because listen, as much as you would like to, hear me now, you cannot separate your mind from who you are. Amen. Amen? How many times have you been by yourself somewhere? Maybe you're a long ways away. Maybe nobody's around you. And something stupid crosses your mind. And you say, man, whoa, where did that come from? Can I just tell you something? Your mind is an indication of things. I hate to tell you this, but your mind is an indication of some things that might need to be dealt with in your heart. That's heavy, man. Let me say that one more time. Your mind is an indication. If it comes into your mind, there might be some issues that are rooted down there. It might have been something your mama passed to you. Come on now. Might have been something your daddy passed to you. Might have been something socialization has just, you know, put inside of your makeup. You have to be very careful what's on your mind. I was looking through my artwork and stuff trying to find, I thought, man, I need to find a guy who just feels like he just don't know what to do. His head's in his hand, and I found one real quick. What's on your mind? What is it that is discouraging you? What is it that is frustrating you? What is it that is weighing you down so that you feel like you can't have clarity of thought and understanding? You know, I reached that place a few weeks ago when I was having that conversation with Pastor Joy, and I said, listen, I said, I feel lethargic, man. I just feel like I just can't think. I said, I feel slow. I feel weak-minded, you know? How many, anybody ever, come on. Anybody, come on now. I just felt stupid, amen? And I know I ain't stupid, come on. I know I'm not stupid, amen? But I felt just like I was empty. I just felt like I had nothing left to give. Amen? And it was tough for me. And I reached that place. And man, I sat there one day, and I just sat down, and I just started crying. Can I just be honest with y'all? Come on. I just sat there and started crying, and I had no reason to cry. Amen? I just sat there and started crying. And I just felt like, God, what are you trying to say to me? And I feel like the Lord has helped me. I really do. I feel like God has just given me some divine direction, and I need more divine direction. Pray for me, because I am moving forward. I mean, I'm not playing around with ministry. I'm 60 years old. I quit school because of recess. Come on. I don't play. I'm not playing. I'm here for serious stuff. You know, and I want to see God do incredible things in this church. I mean, I'm thankful for what he has done, but I'm more excited for what he's going to do. Amen? And so what's on your mind? What's on your mind? Because whatever's in your mind is an indicator of some things going on in your soul. Your soul is a combination. I learned this many, many years ago as I studied in college. If you've ever taken a college class, this is not new to you. Your soul is a combination of three things: your mind, your will, and your emotions. That means that you are a human being. You have been created after the image of your Creator, God Almighty. God Almighty has mind, God Almighty has will, and God Almighty has emotions. Amen? You're created in the image and the likeness of God. So you and I, the Bible says that we are in the image of God. And for those of you who are social media users, how many social media users we got, every one of us? The average age, I spoke this the other night in the women's meeting. The average age, most popular age for Facebook today, hold on, is 67 years old. The biggest customer that Facebook has is almost 70. Some of y'all young people saying, that's why I don't use it, okay? that's why I'm on TikTok, come on, okay? That's why y'all don't mess with Facebook. Some people think Facebook is stupid, amen? But hey, it's the News and Observer, it's the Virginian Pilot, it's everything. You know, you just pick it up, find out what's going on, get your day started, and all throughout the day you check in with friends that you haven't seen in a long time. But it asks you a question when you pull up your page. Somebody say, my page. When you pull up your page, you know what it says? What's on your mind? Okay. Seriously. What's on your mind? Look at your Facebook page. And so it's saying, hey, Wallace, What's on your mind? And some people come up with stupid, like, hey, it's what's for dinner. And they'll throw something up there like fresh vegetables, like, you ain't got your own cucumbers? Come on. Everybody's got cucumbers right now. Everybody's got squash. What makes yours special, so special, that you feel like I got to front page it on Facebook, okay? Look at what we had for dinner. Well, big whoop, okay? I got cucumbers, I raised them, okay? I got squash, I raised them, okay? So you don't have, but it's asking you something. What's on your mind, okay? And so sometimes when you ask what's on your mind, you get TMI, too much information. Amen? People give you information on Facebook. Sometimes I'll hear my wife say, and I say, you know what I agree with? She said, I got to block this person, okay? Come on, Pastor Joy, ease up, baby. I got to unfriend them at least because I don't need to see all this. Come on, have y'all ever had anybody on Facebook like that? Some people just took Facebook and threw it in the trash. Come on, they just got rid of all of that stuff. They said, I don't have time for this. And you know, it's because they get frustrated at what they see coming out of somebody because that's what's on their mind. Jesus said this is what will happen. Luke chapter 6, verse number 45. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Okay? Has your spouse ever said anything to you that just kind of blew you away for a moment, kind of hurt your feelings? Come on, anybody? Help me here. You know why they said it? Because it was in their heart. Now, let that sink in for just a second. And then they come out and say, well, baby, I didn't mean that. Yes, you did. Come on, don't try to backtrack. You said it, so you felt it, all right? You know why? Because it's connected. Stay with me here. It's connected to your soul. Where'd it come from? My mind, my will, and my emotions, okay? This is a serious sermon, y'all. No playing here, okay? It's just the truth. God's going to help us today. He's going to speak to us today. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will say something, okay? I ain't mean it. Yes, you did. You wouldn't have said it, okay? And here's the bad thing about words. Once you say them, you can't take them back. You can try to correct. Oh, I didn't mean that. Oh, I didn't mean. No, yes, you did. You meant it, okay? So you have to be careful here. In fact, when Jesus warns us about our minds, and when the religious leaders are coming around Jesus, they're asking the question here to Jesus. They say, hey, let me just ask you a question, Rabbi. What is the greatest commandment? What is it? What is the greatest of all the commandments? And Jesus answers them. Matthew 22, 37 is the verse. And Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And then you flip over a few pages to the right in the Gospel of Luke, and Luke adds something that Matthew didn't put there. But we believe that Luke heard that, okay? He said, oh, most excellent Theophilus, I've tried to pin down everything that folks told me about and also things that I saw with my own eyes. And this is what he says Jesus said. Jesus said he added something, and you need to love your neighbor like yourself. Okay? So Jesus said, wait a minute. Luke said, what? He said, Jesus, I heard him say it. He said, you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? Treat your neighbor like you treat yourself. Some of y'all don't even know your neighbor's name. Been living there 15 years. Y'all ain't never had them over to eat. They never had you over to eat. You just know they drive a Chevrolet. Okay, and that's it. That's our neighbor. What's his name? Honey, what's our neighbor's name? You don't know your neighbors. A lot of you don't. Some of you do. But some of you don't. And he says, you need to love your neighbor. And then, I'm just studying the Bible out loud here. Let's just go for it. He says, well, who's my neighbor? And then he starts telling them a story about a man who's on his way on the highway and has a little altercation. And Jesus answers the question, who is my neighbor? Let me ask you a question. Who's your neighbor? Everybody. Who said that? Amen. Everybody's your neighbor. Well, I don't stop for people who are broke down. Well, don't stop then. You know what I do when I see somebody on the highway going down the road? I just slow down and say, hey, you got a phone? Hey, I'm good. I said, and keep on going, okay? I mean, you can get yourself messed up today. Listen, we're having people getting shot right here in this small town here. Too much. Too much. We need to present Jesus Christ more than we ever have because too many people got foolishness and guns, and they need Jesus. Who's my neighbor? Everybody. Everybody's my neighbor. I should be concerned about everyone. Love your neighbor as yourself. He said that you could hang all of the law and the prophets on these two commandments. In other words, the whole of what is written in the law and the whole of what is written in the prophets called us can be summarized in loving God with all of your heart, mind, and your soul. What's on your mind? What's in your mind? What are you placing in your mind? And how are you influencing your mind? You got to be careful. The Bible declares, Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You have ungodly things running through your head. You have ungodly thoughts running through your mind. He says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Romans 8, verse 6. Check this out. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. Paul continues as he speaks to the church at Rome, and he spends what we have numbered as 11 chapters on laying down doctrinal truths. Romans, I'm in the book of Romans here. He lays down all of these doctrinal truths and principles and precepts, and then he makes this amazing plea with the word, Romans 12. He comes back with one word, and he says what? Therefore. Therefore. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you. I'm in a different translation, Susan. But he says this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. Because God is such a merciful God. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. You don't have to die. He already died. Okay? But you keep yourself alive, but you live sacrificially. And I want you to live in a way that is what? Holy and pleasing. Some of y'all are not living pleasing lives. Mighty quiet in here. Some of you doing things that are not pleasing to God. And you show up on Sunday morning and you get all holy. But what's going on Monday to Saturday? That's what my question is. What kind of life are you living Monday to Saturday? Come on, I'm just being a good pastor, that's all. He's laying down doctrinal truths, and he says, therefore, offer your body a living sacrifice. He says, if you do this, I love studying the Bible out loud. He says, if you do this, this is a spiritual act of worship. King James people, what does he say? This is your reasonable service. You ain't doing nothing special if you live holy. You're not. It's just a reasonable service. Why? Because he redeemed you, man. It's just a reasonable service for you to live holy. Why? Because he gave his life on the cross of Calvary so that you can live, so that you don't have to go to hell. Amen? So that you can be alive and live free and have peace in your heart. Man, what a win-win for us. Amen? Paul continues as he speaks to the church at Rome, and he says, verse 2, do not conform. I love this. Do not conform to the pattern. Anybody know what a pattern is? It's what you lay down if you want to make a replica or a copy. He says, don't live to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to attest, to prove what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Paul is making a plea here. Verse number 1, look at what he says. He says, I urge you. I urge you. I looked up that word. It's a powerful word. Three things are said about this word. You know what it means? It means to entreat someone, to admonish someone, to literally beg someone. Please. And this is what God is saying to you and me. Please, please live a life worthy of that. You've come to the cross of Christ. I've transformed your life. Don't live like the rest of the world. Live transformed. Shh, man, this is heavy. I'm getting conviction standing right here. Because this is strong, guys. Paul is pleading with the Christians who are living under grace because he openly calls them brothers and sisters. Okay? Brothers and sisters. He says, I'm begging you, even though God is a merciful God, even though God will withhold from you what you really deserve. Come on. He's going to hold it back. That's mercy. I'm pleading with you, begging you to do something. What is God asking us to do? What is God entreating us to do? What is God urging us to do? What is God begging us to do? Offer your body as a sacrifice that is alive. See, he's talking to people who know the law. He's talking to people who know the law. They understand the Levitical sacrificial system. They've seen the animal like that split, blood streamed out. That was required to cover man's sins. He's seen the animal split down the middle, the covenants made, walking through the middle of it. They understand the Levitical sacrificial system. They really do. And he's seen all that. But God says, listen, you don't have to die the death I did. And I did this for you so that you can live. So what I want you to do is live dead. Okay? I know that doesn't make any sense to you. Pastor Joy, you've seen the devotionals, the books that are out there called the Live Dead Movement. The Assemblies of God has missionaries on the field that are serving in the most dangerous, dangerous places. And they sign up to say, I'm going to go all on the other side of the world. And I'm gonna make a commitment to the Lord. I'm gonna live dead. Dead to my own desires, dead to my own acquisition, on my own aspirations, dead to I'm gonna live dead. I'm gonna live my life transformed by the power of the cross in another part of the world so that other people can see Jesus in me. Okay? He's talking to people that would well be familiar with animal sacrifice. And he says, listen, you don't have to die. Jesus died, but I want you to live dead. Dead to the things of this world. Amen? He's not calling them to die. Jesus has died. Jesus has become the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. This is heavy, guys. Come on. This is a big old piece of meat right here. This is Jesus Christ, the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It was appointed unto him to die for the sins of the world. Amen? Jesus said, for this cause came I into the world, to die for the sins of the world. He has given his life. He shed his blood. Paul is calling for them to give their lives as living sacrifices. We get to cheat. We don't have to die. We get to live. But he says, I want you to live in such a manner that you are dead to the influences of this world. That's what he's, here we go, I urge you. That's what he's begging you to do. He's asking you, please, he's begging you and I to do this, to offer your life, to offer your body, to offer yourself alive but dead. Amen. Living in your body but dead to the sin that knocks on your door every day of your life. Come on. It's knocking on your door. We've created new ways to sin against God. All kinds of ways. And he continues and tells us that this kind of behavior is holy to the Lord and pleasing to the Lord. Paul, inspired of the Holy Spirit, I love this. He uses two adjectives to describe what he's looking for, holy and pleasing. In other words, the only way that you can be holy, the only way that you can be pleasing is to live a life that is dead, live in such a way that you put to death the flesh. I've had to say to myself several times, I got. Sometimes I'm just with my wife, you know, and we're in the middle of something, and get, you know, meeting with some people, dealing with church leaders somewhere else or something, and I'm just gonna live this out for a second here. I'm just gonna say, you know what? I'm gonna say, help me, Holy Ghost. Help me, Holy Ghost. You know, because somebody said something maybe that tried to provoke me to anger. And my wife will touch my leg, like, I'm praying for you. What she's saying, well, she squeezed my leg, what she's saying is, I'm interceding for you right now because I know you're getting attacked, but I just want you to know, I got your back, I got your back, I got your back. She's squeezing my leg, and the Holy Ghost is telling me what she's praying, okay? Because you want to do what? Strike. Listen, you attack me, man, I'm going to punch you in the face, okay? I got flesh in me. I get some fight in me once in a while. I get some flesh in me, man. I want to strike back at somebody. And I have done that before. I have said some things I wish I hadn't have said. And I got right back out of the car, walked right back in the restroom and said, ma'am, would you please forgive me? I said something to you when I got frustrated earlier. I said something to you, and I just want to say to you, please forgive me. That's not my normal demeanor. And she said, yeah, I forgive you. I said, here's an extra tip right here. Thank you for your service. You know why I did that? Because I was called in that moment to live dead. And I allowed, just for a second, I allowed the flesh to get in there, and I live live, okay? And God's called you to live dead, okay? Dead, listen. It should bounce off you like water off a duck's back. Come on. You should not be offended by the things people do. Listen, if COVID can't make you mad, you can't get mad, okay? If COVID can't make you mad, you can't get mad. Amen? So you have to be very, very careful. God has called you and I to live holy lives, pleasing lives. And he says, when you do this, I love it, this is your spiritual act of worship. This is more important to me, God says, than for you sitting in the church house. Amen? By living a life of sacrifice to your own desires. Worship, hear me now, worship is not just coming to a building once a week on a Sunday. It's not. I'm glad you're here. I wish you'd bring some more of your friends with you. Amen? I'm disappointed that you don't. But you know what? I'm glad you're here. But this is not the epitome of worship. The epitome of worship was when you live your life dead because of what he did on the cross. That's what God is looking at. It's possible to come into this building every week and have your hearts far from the Lord. Isaiah prophesied this. You know what he said? You serve me with your lips, but your hearts are a long ways from me. You serve me with your lips. Oh, bless the Lord. Come on. Oh, really? Oh, really? Bless the Lord? How about what you did a while ago when nobody else saw you? The Lord says, I saw you. Amen? How about the way you acted? How about the way you treat your wife? Amen? How about the way you treat your husband? How about the way you disrespect your husband? And then you're coming in on Sunday morning going, I'm just loving the Lord Jesus. God, he's just blessed. Whoa! No, shut up. Shut up. He don't want to hear your praises. What he wants you to do is live dead in your house. Come on now. Live dead in your house. Respect your spouse. Respect your kids. Love people. But don't go acting crazy. And just because you come in the building here called the church, you get a Holy Spirit on you. Okay? Then you go out of here Monday through Saturday and live the way you want. He says, don't do that. Look at verse 2. Do not. And this is a crazy verse, but it's a play on two words. It's a play on conform. I underlined it for you. Thought I did. He says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be ye transformed. It's a fight between conform and transform. Verse number 2. And he says, how do you become transformed? By the renewing of your mind. You know what you're doing right now sitting here with me? You're renewing your mind. What do you do when you get up tomorrow morning, cup of coffee, 7 o'clock, sitting on the porch, turn on somebody's devotion, or grab the Bible, renewing your mind. Amen? Renewing your mind. What are you doing when you can't find anything you want to watch on TV, so you go up to the God channels, you know, and find Joyce Meyer or T.D. Jakes, somebody like that, and you listen, you know, David Jeremiah, whoever you listen to, and you just listen 30 minutes, you're renewing your mind, okay? You're renewing your mind, and that's what you have to do to stop conforming. Are you getting this? Are you hearing? Are you getting what God is saying? You have to renew your mind, or you will not be transformed. You will conform. Okay? Paul is saying that you and I do not live like this world lives. We don't conform. We don't live conformed lives. We live transformed lives. The word here is a play on the word metamorphosis, which is the same thing that happens when a big old ugly fat fuzzy worm becomes a butterfly. Okay? You would never ever imagine that that beautiful monarch, orange and black wings, would have ever been a fuzzy old aggravating itchy worm. But he was. Okay, because he became transformed. And we're enabled to live for him by the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Then Paul tells us how we're able to accomplish this by the renewing of your mind. What's on your mind? What's in your mind? Your mind is dictating the responses that you have in this earthly life. Your mind will tell you how you respond to temptation. Your mind will tell you how to respond to the opportunities. I used to go to, you know, I've done a lot of weddings in my life, and I've married a lot of people that, you know, they just wanted me to marry them, so I did. And I started noticing something at weddings. Everybody's got a can in their hand. And I told my wife one day, I said, you know what, all these young people, they want to get married. And I said, I went to the wedding today, and I said, I'm just looking at these people. They're just walking around, you know, and they don't have a bottle of water. They got a Budweiser or something like that. They're just walking around. And I watched the guy. He held the same can for 3 hours. Hey, what's up, man? What's up? He didn't really want to drink the beer. But he didn't want to not be conformed. Oh, come on. He didn't want to not be conformed to what his peers were calling for him to be. Okay? I'm just feeling the Holy Ghost doing something here, so I'm just going to be still for a second. Let me tell you something stupid I used to do when I was 16. I used to go to the store and buy Tropicana apple juice and ride around town, 16 years old. Hey, what's up, man? What's up? What's up? Big old truck took a ladder to get in it. Hey, boop, 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 boop. Hey, what's up? Just hold my little apple juice up. Why? Because I didn't really want to drink. But I sure wanted to look like I was. Why? What was I doing? Conforming to the expectations of the world. That's what I was doing. And then you know what happened? If you do that long enough, you know what happened? I can take you, God is my witness. I can take you to the spot at 17. A lot happened between 16 and 17. I used to hang around older people. Did I steal your water, baby? I'm sorry. I can take you to the very spot, the very store, and almost probably sit right over the very place we were parked. When an older guy that I was hanging out with said, hey, what y'all want to drink? I had never in my life had a single drop of any kind of alcohol. Hey, give me a Miller. And when I said it, I thought, why'd I say that? Maybe because you want to live the high life. I don't know. Some of y'all just don't get that. That's okay. It's all right. And I remember when I got the first one in my hand. And I just drunk it down, man. Little did I know that that day, I opened a door that was very hard for me to close. Just very hard. Because I can take you to places when I was in college at NC State University. That's why we prayed for these kids that graduated, because listen, this is a rough world out here, man. I can take you to places in Raleigh where I just totally violated every principle that I was ever taught. And I lived for me. And I remember getting up in the morning, and the only thing that could make me feel better was to start drinking again. I had a serious alcohol issue. And it was scary, Lewis, It was scary. I remember drinking first thing in the morning. Some people said, two eggs over easy with bacon. Nah, just give me some more beer. And I would start drinking in the morning because at least it would make the feelings go away. At least it would make me feel like I can get through this, whatever I got facing me today. See? All I did was, hey, give me a Miller. When I said that, hear me, young person, I opened a door that I wish I had never opened. And for those of you who want to just categorize me right now and say, well, he's just talking about drinking because he thinks if you drink, you're going to hell. Drinking ain't going to send you to hell, neither is smoking. Make you smell like you live there, but you ain't going there because you smoke. Okay? That's not what sends you to hell. You can accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and drink. You say, well, I can't believe he said that. Why? You lie, cheat, steal, and talk about your neighbors. You can do all those things. Okay? But if you truly want to live dead, you won't do any of those things. Okay? I don't see nothing wrong with... Look, I'm not judging jury here. I'm not giving you permission to do this, that, or the other thing. But I'm just telling you what the Bible says. The Bible says that you are not to conform to the world standards. God, by His Holy Spirit, is placing right now His finger on some of your stuff. The question is, what will you do with it? Will you be willing to lay it down? Okay? Will you be willing to lay it down, or are you going to hold on to it because that's just who you are? Okay? Now, you think I enjoy preaching stuff like this? No, I don't. But I'm going to do it because the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Okay? It don't make friends. Okay? It don't make people like you. But I don't care about being liked. I'm already loved. I'm already chosen. Amen. Come on. I know who I am. Come on. I'm not only person I got to please is God, okay? And so I'm called to renew my mind. And you have to do what Paul said. If you start reading Paul, he's going to get into... If I don't get in it, he is, okay? Paul's going to get into your stuff. Look at what he says in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 20. Be careful then, Paul said, how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. I think about those guys at the weddings. I was marrying a bunch of people in one season of my life, and I'm walking around, and I watched this guy. He walked around with the same beer can the whole wedding, which said to me, I got the message. I don't really want to get into this, but I want to be accepted by everybody else, so I'm just going to hold the can. And I slipped over to him. I couldn't help it. I slipped over to him toward the end. I said, hey, your beer is hot. And walked away. He said, what? I said, your beer is hot. Embarrassed him, you know. But I said, look, man, I watched you. You don't have to do that. Be who God's called you to be. Don't try to be who everybody else wants you to be. Because I can tell you, man, from experience, I did it and I got addicted. I had an alcohol issue. In fact, all I have to do right now is take a few drinks, maybe start social. Man, I just need a break, man. And I'd be right back down there again. I'd just do it away from y'all. Which makes it worse. See? Paul says, listen, don't want you acting foolish. You ever heard anybody say that? Want you acting foolish. He says, therefore, verse 17, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk. It leads to foolishness. Leads to you doing things, changing the rules, doing things that you wouldn't normally do. I remember going to my first About 5 years out of high school, graduated from school, going back to that first reunion. Pastor Joy and I spent more time ministering to people at our first reunion. She was in the bathroom with spouses crying because their husband has gone out and got sloshed and they done switching up. You go with him and I'll take your wife. And that's what they were doing at our first reunion. Guess how many more reunions I went to since I've been out of high school since 1979? Zero. I don't have anything to give you. I'm not giving you my time to watch y'all stand around and act stupid and switch husbands and wives around. Because that ain't God's will. So the best thing for me to do, stay away from the reunions. Okay? So he said, don't get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, somebody say instead. This is what he's called you to do. Be filled with my spirit. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the spirit. Sing. Make music from your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This will keep your mind right. This will keep your head in the right direction. This will help you when you're asked the question, what's on your mind? To be able to say, Christ is on my mind, man. Love is on my mind. Peace is on my mind. Joy is on my mind. Why? Because I keep myself not conformed, but transformed. Philippians 4, verses 7 and 8 would be your modus operandi. And the peace of God, which transcends, this is Pastor Joy's favorite passage. I always think about it every time I start reading it. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. These are the things you should be putting in your mind. Not what the world wants you to do. What's on your mind in this season of your life? And if the answer to that question is challenging for you this morning, the same God called, Spirit-inspired apostle spoke to that issue when he wrote to the church at Corinth, and this is what he said, one of my favorite passages. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. The weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension. I love the King James here. I put it in there. It says, every high thing that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we, Paul says, we take captive every thought and bring it in obedience to Christ. It's time to get serious with the Lord. It's time to stop playing. It's time to get your mind right. Because as a man thinks, so he is. So he is. I'm telling you, man, you got to be careful today. You can't afford to play. And you know what the industry's doing? I sit back and watching TV the other night and I thought, you know what? This thing is getting bad. Because you used to have, when I was coming along, I mean, you had, you just go in there, either you got a Miller or you got a Natural Light. Or, now you got 11 dozen varieties of everything you want to drink. And they got this new seltzer stuff, this spritzers and all kinds of, this is flavor, that flavor, this little Bud Light with lime. And they got everything available. Because they can't keep you going unless they come up with something new. They can't keep you going. And they're just constantly adding and spending millions of dollars in advertisement, luring you in to conform to the world. And now people say, well, you know, Pastor Wallace, you got to be careful. You don't want to offend nobody. Oh, let them go to hell, but please don't offend them. Please don't offend them. Just let them go to hell. Because they don't know how to live a victorious life, non-conforming, but transformed by the Holy Ghost and what he's done in their life. Amen? It breaks my heart, man, to see people struggle. But as I reflect and go back down my own trail, I can only go down my own trail, and I can relate to what I did. I lied, I cheated, I deceived. I tried my best to look like everybody else so that I could possibly be accepted by them. Okay? And God used that one right there. I remember the very first night I picked her up. And I asked her that ultimate question every young man asks when he picks up the girl and gets her in his vehicle. Hey, what you want to drink? What do you want to drink? And she threw me a curveball, Andy. You know what she said? I don't drink. I thought, This is going to be rough, okay? This is going to be hard, okay? I said, what? She said, I don't drink. The first thing I asked my own self, I started having a conversation with myself. How do you date and not get drunk? This is going to be a long night. Going to be a long night. Come on. This is going to be rough, but we made it through. The first night, I'm standing on the banks of a little river called the Pasquotank in Elizabeth City, and I didn't even want the Holy Spirit to speak to me, and he did, okay? And he said, boy, he said, things are getting ready to change for you, okay? I said, what? Who's talking to me? I'm hearing voices. Man, if I could get something to drink, I'd be all right. Okay. But the Holy Spirit spoke to me, Mary, and said, things are getting ready to drastically change in your life. And I was like, whoa. So I got in the flesh, and I kissed her. Okay. And I decided, I do want that, okay? Okay, I do want this. And life took a steady move forward. And before I knew it, I was born again, filled with God's Spirit, call of ministry on my life. Everything changed, okay? Everything changed. Joy, you have been an absolute blessing to my life. Amen, you have. And still are. Everything changed. Everything changed. And no, Joy and I never had sex before we were married. Never did. July 12th, 1981. Never had sex. Just thought I'd give you that little TMI there. Okay? Okay? Well, I wonder if, you know, he prays and preaches. I wonder if they had sex. We didn't. Scared to death, July 12th, 1981, Williamsburg, Virginia, on my honeymoon. Scared to death. But guess what? Looks like we made it. Come on. God helped us, okay? I'm going to stop right here because even the black people are turning red. Come on, somebody. I love y'all, man. God is good. God is good. Amen. Can I just tell you now, can we get some worship team people to come back here? I don't know if they're double duty in today, helping them, stuff like that. Somebody scratch me down. There you go. Grab me somebody. Can I just tell you what the Holy Spirit is trying to do to you this morning? He's asking you, man. He's asking. He's been asking you a long time. I'm just the cherry on the cake, okay? He's been asking you a long time. Man, what's on your mind? Come on, Jerry. What's on your mind? What's on your mind, this is the scary part, is what's in your heart. And some of y'all, God is calling you. I'm not here to throw stones. I'm not here because I love you. Listen, if you're here today and you got issues, and I still love you. I love you. I love you. I do. I love you as a pastor. I love you as a friend. And I can't live your life for you, and you can't live mine for me. And some of y'all are still struggling with those little peer things, little expectancies of other people. Can I just tell you, man, if you would just be willing to unzip your heart and give him every piece of space in there. Man, I'm telling you, God will transform your life. And he will give you an opportunity to live dead. I've enjoyed this message. I don't know what you think about it, but it worked on me. It worked on me. Because it's the Word of God. Okay? It's the Word of God. Come on, preachers, help me out here. Preachers, prayer team members. Because I believe that God is speaking to people's lives today. Nothing to be ashamed of, nothing to be embarrassed about. I've borne my soul to you. If you don't know anything about me, it's because you ain't listening. Okay? I've borne my soul to you so many times over the years. Stretch on out there all across the front of that altar. The altar is a place where change takes place. Stretch on across there. There you go. So stand with me, would you? Lord, have your way today. Thank you for laying your finger on some stuff that I just need to release to you, God. I think it might be a challenge, God, but I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to just lay it down. I'm willing to let you in every little corner of my heart. Man, I wish I could just say that I live just a completely victorious life. No bad thoughts. I stop right there. I have bad thoughts. I do. I have bad, ugly thoughts sometimes. I think, where did that come from? Okay. Because he's the prince. Help me here, guys. He's the prince of the power of the what? The air. The devil is in the air. Okay. If you get in your car and you want to listen to country music, I usually go Dixie 105.7. I pull down Dixie 105.7 because I want to hear a country, okay? If that's what I want to listen to. Because the frequency is in, the music's in the air. I'm pulling it down to my frequency. I'm going to punch the right buttons in the car. So the atmosphere is charged with all kinds of power, and the demonic is out there. And so the demonic are going to come down in your life, in your hearing, in your senses, in your thought processes, and try to knock on your door. That's why it's important that you got to live a transformed life, live dead. And that's why I just close it out with one of those powerful passages in all of Corinthians. You got to take captive those things. Hey, you're under arrest, man. I don't do that stuff. You're under arrest. I don't think thoughts like that. Sometimes I even prayed, Kenny, I've prayed this before. Lord, please cleanse my mind. I don't know where I picked this up, God, but just cleanse my mind because I don't want to think thoughts like this. It's a rough journey, man. God, help me to be transformed. I thank you for transforming my mind. And then the Holy Spirit will gently say, Wallace, the reason is because you haven't been reading my word enough. You haven't been on your face enough. You haven't been praying enough. You haven't been getting in the closet enough. Amen. So if that's where you are, listen, come on. Just come on. Step out of your seat. Don't waste our time. Don't waste these preachers' times. Just come on, step right out right now. Lord, what I'm asking you to do is to transform my mind today. I want to give you my mind today, afresh and anew. I want you, God, to take my mind. Come on, guys. Come on. Step out of your seat. I know the Holy Spirit is dealing with some of you. Come on, let's get in front of somebody. Let them lay holy hands on us. Let them speak the word of God over us. Let them pray over us. Come on, step out of your seat and come. Step out of your seat. Lewis, pray for me, man. I'll take all the prayer I can get. Let somebody pray with you today.
The honor, you are our God, the one we live for, we give.
your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Love you guys. Love you, love you, love you, love you, love you. Amen. God is so good. All of us are working on our story. Amen. My story is not like your story. Okay? But just allow Him to continue to unfold what He's doing in your life. Ladies, our ladies are at the door. Please give to missions. Touch the world. Amen. Go by the tree out there. Bless Mother Virginia today. Just sow into her precious life. Amen. I got some money in my pocket. I can't wait to give it to her. Amen. Just to be a blessing. And God is so good. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we just give you thanks today for your word. God, thank you for just doing exceedingly above all we could even ask or imagine. Thank you, Father, for touching our hearts, our lives. Thank you, God, for just allowing us to live dead. Help us, God. Some of the things we hold on to, God, we don't want to really give them up. But, God, we know that if we do, we're only just allowing you to rule and reign in our lives even more. And that's what we want. That's what we want, Father. In Jesus' strong name. Amen and amen. Come on, bless the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. 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 We give you praise. Come on, sing it. We give you praise.
All of the honor. You are our God, the one we live for.
Yes.
We give you praise and all of the glory, God. We give you praise. All of the honor, you are our God.